My name is Wesley Morton. I am 29 years old. Today is November 8th, 2015, and I am speaking today with my maternal grandma Sue. And we are recording this interview in her home in Los Alamos, New Mexico. And Grandma, if you want to just say a brief introduction.
Wesley is here to interview me. I'm Sue Myers Connor. I live in Los Alamos, New Mexico, which is a famous place, but a lot of people don't know where it is or even that it's a state. And we'll carry on with the interview. I think this is a really interesting project.
All right. So, let's see here.
And you can stop at any time?
I don't think I can.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it just keeps going. So, let's start from the top. And a question that I have is what... and it's a big question, however you want to approach it, but what was your childhood like?
Well, my childhood was pretty much like everybody else's at the time. I'm 81, and I grew up in a fairly small town in Illinois. And I think that we all just did our thing, went to school and played after school. And so I think it was just a fairly normal childhood like everybody else had at the time.
And along those lines, what can you say about your school experience, maybe a good memory, or even more broadly, did you like going to school? What stands out about your school experience that you can remember?
Well, I loved going to school, but I was an only child raised by my mother, so it was a good way for me to be with my friends, and I enjoyed learning. One big memory I have was that in 1950, I moved from Jacksonville to Canton, Illinois, and started high school there. I was a sophomore, and in Latin class on the Ides of March, I sat across from Alan Connor and met him that day.
And who is Alan Connor?
Alan Connor was my husband of 58 years.
That's amazing. So, so what grade was that you two met?
That was sophomore in high school.
Okay. Very cool. A fateful meeting.
Yeah.
Here I am all these years later.
That's why they say beware the Ides of March.
Okay. So, skipping forward a little bit in time, can you tell me a little bit about when you first found out you were going to be a mother and what that experience was like? Any memories around your first pregnancy?
Okay, first pregnancy. Well, it was just the thing that everybody did back then. And my third pregnancy, Wesley's mother, when she was born, the first thing I thought of was I'm going to be busy and not get any more sleep.
And was that the case? Was that true?
No, she was a good baby. But I had two babies and a 3-year-old, 4-year-old. So pretty busy.
That's right. And where were your children born?
Well, Claude was born in San Diego at the Naval Hospital because his dad was in the Marines. And after he got out of the Marines, we moved to Canton, Illinois. Both girls, Cheryl and Chris, were born in the hospital in Canton, Illinois.
Great. Okay. I kind of put the horse before, or put the cart before the horse on these questions, but what could you describe to me about your marriage proposal? Do you have any particular memory around that?
Oh, yes, I do, because I had not seen Alan for a year. We hadn't been in contact, and ran into him and had a date, and he proposed, and I accepted, and we got married 12 days later.
That's amazing. How old were you at that time?
We were both 20, and in Illinois at that time, women had independence at 18, but Alan had been in the Marines a couple of years almost, and he was 20, but his dad had to sign a permission for him to get married, which we thought was kind of dumb. That's all changed now.
Yeah. I wonder if that, is that state to state they made those rules, or was that?
Well, in Illinois, women could drink, they could do everything that they needed to when they were 18. Men had to be 21.
Huh. Very interesting. I didn't know that.
Well, that's changed.
Yeah. Okay, one, you and Grandpa Alan seemed, I mean, to me and I think a lot of people in the family, just to have a really strong connection, strong bond, good working relationship, partnership, loving partnership. And so I wanted to ask you, the question is, what are the keys to a strong relationship? And I guess in this case it's marriage, but you could take it more broadly too, but I'm just wondering, what were some of the things that made it a success for you?
Well, maturity, even though we were 20, but a sense of humor helped a lot. And our problems seemed to come from outside our marriage, and so we could deal with them together. And we just were good friends as well as being married.
Wonderful. Okay, kind of jumping all over here. but let's see here. So I wanted to ask a few questions about religion, spirituality. First one is, what, if any, what role does religion or spirituality play in your life today? What does that mean to you?
Well, today I consider myself a lapsed Unitarian, and you can't get much less religious than that. And when I was in high school and in Sunday school, well, I was raised in the Methodist Church, and one day I went to kind of a youth class, and they were talking about heaven and so on, and the subject came up about grace. And the minister was saying that, you know, you can be wonderful, you can do all these wonderful things, but if you don't have grace, you're not going to get into heaven. Well, that really turned me off, yeah. And I thought a lot about that. And I still think that it's kind of a difficult thing for a minister to even know about, to let alone tell people.
Absolutely. And I think you just said it, but how old were you at that point?
I was in high school.
High school. Okay, this is another pretty broad, general question, but I'm curious to know, is what is something that you are passionate about? It doesn't have to be just one thing, but what's something that you feel passionate about?
That's a tough one because my marriage has been ended, and so I guess it's my family. I don't know if you're talking about hobbies or whatever, but I do like to read, and I read nonfiction and fiction, and I do like email messaging, and I go to exercise, and I try to keep up with my friends and my family. I can't really say I'm passionate about anything.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. This just came to me. It wasn't on the list, so it's a curveball, but I know that traveling has played a big role in your life, that you've gotten to travel and visit a number of places around the U.S. for sure, and around the world. Is there, among many experiences, maybe is there one that you could share, a place that you really loved or a certain story that comes to mind throughout your many travels over the years?
Well, my favorite trip was 6 weeks in New Zealand. We had a camper, they called it a caravan, I believe, and we toured both islands. That was my dream trip, and after that I really wasn't caring whether I went anywhere or not. I've been to Europe several times and went through the Panama Canal, but back to New Zealand, that was my absolute favorite trip.
That sounds amazing. The landscapes and everything just seem stunning.
Well, New Zealand has everything. It's not big, but it's got mountains like the Alps. It's got glaciers. It's got waterfalls. It's got deserts. It's got mountains. And the people were just wonderful. So if you want to see the whole world, you can do it by going to two islands in New Zealand.
Yeah. All right. So when you were younger, say, I guess, high school age, let's say high school age, a teenager, what career or job or profession were you attracted to, or did you see yourself in at that age? Was there a particular profession that you were interested in?
I was interested in journalism, and after high school, moved to Oak Park, Illinois, and I went to work for the Pioneer Publishing Company. I didn't do journalism there, but I did other things. And this publishing company published newspapers all around the Chicago area.
Wow, I did not know that. Tell me about someone who has been a mentor to you professionally. If there's somebody that comes to mind, somebody that guided you on your path or you felt was a good mentor for you.
Well, I didn't have much of a professional life, so I guess just the people that I worked with. I worked the tax season for H&R Block for 10 years, but I did not do taxes. I did the office work, and I worked for a printing company, and all the people that I worked for were just great people. No particular mentor. They just told me what I needed to know, and I did it.
Absolutely. All right. So a couple of questions. I got these from the section that is addressing family history, and one of the questions on here is, of all of our family members, all of your family members, that you've either known yourself or heard stories about, who do you think lived the most interesting life, and Why do you think that?
Well, I expect that my mother's twin brother, Donald Ball, had an interesting life. They grew up on a farm and went to high school in a very small town in northern Illinois. Then he went to the Art Institute in Chicago to study fashion design. And then the war came along, and he was drafted actually before the war started, then started his business again. And lo and behold, when the war was started, he was drafted again and stayed in the Army until after the end of the war, and went all over Europe with the Army. He was a medic and had interesting times during the war, tragic times. And then when he came back, he wasn't able to do his business again because fashions had changed. Women weren't getting fashion designers and dressmakers. I can remember his business when I was a little girl. He had these ladies working for him. He did the designing and they did the sewing. And then he went to work for Marshall Fields and did a lot of work there. So I think he had a colorful, interesting life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I'm not sure. Yeah, let's just see if something comes up for you about this. Tell me about some traditions that have been passed down through our family. And if you know when and how they got started, are there any particular family traditions that come to mind?
Well, I thought for a while we would have chop suey Christmas Eve. That seemed to be a tradition for a long time. Don't do that anymore. But then the interesting one lately is the candles for birthdays and anniversaries and celebrations. Instead of having a cake full of 80 candles, we do 3 candles, one for the past, one for the present, and one for the future. And a good friend of mine told me about that, and I thought it was an absolutely wonderful idea, so that's the only tradition I can think of right now that I like to pass along to my family.
That's great. Yeah, I've enjoyed that tradition. We did that up in the Jemez for my birthday. 2 birthdays ago, I think. Okay. So, thinking about your family and many generations from now, and knowing that they may have access to this recording, they may hear this recording, is there any wisdom or advice or anything really that comes up that you would want to share with future generations?
Well, this thought just occurred to me, and that is when you talk to little people and you don't say, what do you want to be when you grow up? You say, how do you want to be when you grow up?
And why is that significant to you? What's the difference that you're seeing there?
Well, what kind of a person do you want to be? Rather than, you can be a fireman or you can be a surgeon or something, but if you're not a reasonable person, I think that that's what's really important, is how you want to be when you grow up.
That's great. That's beautiful. I thought this was kind of an interesting question. Tell me about someone in your life who has been kind to you, and hopefully there are many someones, but one person in particular, and what made them so kind, in your opinion?
Well, I must say that I can't think of anybody who hasn't been kind to me. I don't know if I terrify people or what the reason is, but I've never had anybody not be kind to me. Alan certainly was kind to me. He had to put up with a lot, and of course that worked both ways, but I really can't think of anybody who wasn't kind to me.
All right. So let's see. Besides your closest family members, share with me some of the things that you're most grateful for, some things in life that you're most grateful for. I think you've kind of touched on some of this, but.
Well, it's just good having a family. When I read things in the paper or just finished a book that was set in England, and it just really bothered me that some people can be terrible to each other and so on, and never had that. And I think all of my family have been respectful, and I just can't imagine some of the things that people have gone through, so I feel that I'm really lucky with my family. I don't know if that's what you're looking for or not.
That's great. We're definitely, I think the feeling's pretty mutual on that towards you, Grandma. So, let's see. One question that I thought of, independent of these questions, is looking back across your life, is there a time period in your life that you can say was a particularly great or a favorite time period, like say when you were a teenager or in the early 1960s? Or is there a particular time period in your life that stood out as being particularly interesting or exciting?
Well, there have been different things going on in my life. I think back right now, a senior in high school when I was dating Alan was a great time. And I think that when I was working in jobs that I liked, certainly being married was a great time. Doing some traveling with Alan was a great time. I just think that my life has been pretty great.
That's neat. Okay, I guess just a few more questions here. Is there anything that you regret having not told somebody? And why haven't you told them? Is the question.
I'd like to skip that one.
Okay. I don't know what I would say to that one either.
Well, I know of something, but I'm certainly not.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's see here. This is such a cool little program.
You haven't asked about my personal life before I got married.
Yeah, okay, let's.
Yeah, you weren't going to?
I would love to.
Oh.
What, so let's just take it up from there. What other experiences prior to becoming married, I know that covers, 20 years, there's a lot in there, but what else can you share about those years, experiences from that time?
Well, starting when I was born, I lived with both my parents for several years, and then I basically was raised by my mother, and my father married three times, counting my mother. And I have a half-brother that was born when I was about 12. And with his third marriage, I acquired a stepbrother, and he was born about the same time as my half-brother. So we all got along just fine. I really liked both my stepmothers and enjoyed my half-brother and stepbrother. My half-brother died some years back. But I keep in touch with the stepbrother and his family. Both my stepmothers have passed away, and I really miss them. So my mother died at 43, and I had never even been to a funeral and had to arrange that. Claude was a baby. He was born in September, and my mother died in November of 1955. So I've always missed having my mother. I'm sure that influenced me in my life.
Absolutely. One thing that I have a question about in that, some of the things you just mentioned, is they talk about nowadays in the U.S., divorce is a really common thing. I think about half of marriages end in divorce.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's about 50%.
Terrible.
However, that's fairly recent. That's, you know, past couple of decades that's really shifted like that. And so your parents were divorced in the 1950s or 40s?
No. They didn't live together after I was about five, but according to Illinois law at the time, I was about nine when the divorce was final. So it must have been when I was eight, they had what they called an interlocutory decree, which meant the divorce couldn't be final for 1 year. Huh. And several of my friends' parents were divorced in Jacksonville, but in Canton, hardly any of my friends' parents were divorced. So it was more unusual after that. So I was nine, and the court had decision on who got custody and visitations and all that. So that was kind of taken care of, and that's how things were. I didn't meet my maternal grandparents until I was about 10 or 11, wow. And that was just accidental because they lived in the same town that my paternal grandparents lived. So that was sort of interesting to me.
Wow. So there was a 1 year interlocutory. I can see the word in my mind.
But that was a decree. And divorces at the time, and this was in, so I was eight and nine, so that was 42 and 43.
Uh-huh.
Because I was born in 34.
Okay. Very interesting.
Oh. Now, in New Mexico, you can get divorced one day and remarry the next. Just about.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I just think it's interesting that you had kind of a one-year period, because a lot can change, obviously, in a year, and it wasn't something you could just rush into. So that's all the questions, really, that I had proposed, but as we're talking, I realized that you also had a part of your life where you lived on the East Coast. Grandpa Alan was working, I think, with the DOA or DOD?
DIA.
DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency. And so that's a whole period in your life that I think is probably, there's a story or two there. And I seem to have a memory that you attended Reagan's inaugural ball or some kind of a presidential, some president's inaugural ball. But do you have any stories that come to mind about your time in Washington, D.C., Virginia?
Well, there were four Watergates, the one that everyone knows about. And then there were three others. We lived in Alexandria, Virginia, in Watergate at Landmark. I never found out what the landmark was. Nobody seemed to know, but there were two Watergates in Alexandria, one down by the river and the one we lived in. And then the fourth one was called Montebello because they got tired of naming things Watergate. And a friend from Los Alamos lived there. Her husband was working in Washington at the same time as Alan was. They weren't working in the same place, but while the men were working or traveling or whatever, then she and I would drive around the area, and we went to museums everywhere we could and did things. And so it was a wonderful experience living there. And we knew it was only going to be for 3 years. So we got a lot done in that 3 years time and enjoyed living at Watergate, met a lot of nice people there. It was a great place to live, and got used to condo living there, and I'm living in a condo now in Los Alamos. So I look back on that as a really busy, productive, neat time to meet a lot of great people.
Wonderful. And I'm just going to keep rolling because we have a few more minutes. Another thing that I'm curious about in your life is at some point you ran, managed, I don't know if owned, but managed a toy store, if I have that story right. And I know about it just because my mom will often bring up the story of as soon as we were out of the house, that's when Grandma got her toy store. Just kind of joking around. But what is that story, the toy store?
Well, we got that while the kids were still in high school. Well, I think Claude was already in the Navy. But my next-door neighbor and a friend had started what they called the Hobby Bench. And there were toys, there were coins, there were models to put together, an airplane, what do you call those airplanes that fly, radio-controlled airplanes, and different hobbies. And and stamps and trains, toy trains. So she and her partner had a disagreement, and so I took the partner's place. So she and I owned the Hobby Bench together, and it was fun to run, and so I enjoyed doing that for a while. But enough of that for a while too. And someone else bought the business and moved it up to Los Alamos.
So originally it was here in White Rock, or
yes.
There in White Rock?
Yes, it was in White Rock. And we started with a smaller store, and we were successful enough. Won a contest even.
Wow.
And Joanne and Jack went to New York as representatives for this contest, and that we won, national contest. And then we got a bigger store, but still in White Rock.
Great. Okay, let's see if there's any stories around this this topic. I see you as a little bit of a prankster, and in the best way. Maybe that's a family tradition, because my mom has definitely carried that on in certain ways, and I myself. But two things come to mind. One is a recent holiday surprise. Grandma Sue, you started a indoor snowball fight, which I'll always remember. It was really great. And there's another story that I may have the details really wrong. It's like telephone, things get changed as they get passed along, but I want to say there was some story about you telling folks that you were younger or you were older than you actually were. And so somebody took out a ad in the newspaper.
No, that's not quite it. I decided when I was in my 40s that I would say I was 5 years older than I really was, because then people would say, oh, you look really good for your age. Well, then by the time I got 75, I got over that. But what was the other thing that you said?
Well, I guess I just wanted to ask, are there any practical jokes or pranks or anything like that that you can think of?
Oh, yeah. I had a really intelligent friend, Polly, and Alan certainly was intelligent, and somehow Polly and I had been out to the stables, and there was this big, beautiful bunny running around loose. Well, we didn't want it to get run over. We could see that it was a pet. So we brought the bunny. Of course, I had to take the bunny because I didn't have a dog. And we had a cat house that we weren't using, so that was the bunny's outdoors place. But it did come in the house, and it was tame, and it would sit by Alan when he was writing letters or whatever. Well, then April 1st came along, and I got this idea, and I decided that I would tell Polly and Alan that the bunny had given birth to a litter of baby bunnies, whatever they're called. Well, Polly couldn't believe it anyway. At work, she got rid of all these baby bunnies. And as soon as Alan came home from work, he went over to see the baby bunnies. Well, of course, the bunny was a boy bunny, and there were no baby bunnies, but it was my big April Fool joke. And I'll never forget how I fooled two of the most intelligent people on earth about the baby bunnies.
Okay. I had not heard that one.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, and Uncle Claude as well, he's quite a prankster, so I think that is something in our family line there. That's great. All right. Is there anything else that maybe I didn't think to ask, or anything else that you are thinking you might want to add, any other stories, or do you feel we covered things pretty well? We've got about 2 minutes left. All right. Well, thank you to my wonderful Grandma Sue, and we are signing off November 8th, 2015.
It's shut off for sure.